When it comes to dog food and treats, you want something natural. A dog food or special reward that feeds great is made here in the USA and helps your best friend live a long and healthy life. That's what you get with Country Vet Naturals. Natural goodness in every bag. And for those of you who want grain-free, they have that too. Country Vet Naturals, now available in the Des Moines Metro. Learn more at countryvetnaturals.com. Country Vet Naturals, loved by pets, trusted by owners.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals, loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
For nearly a quarter of a century, Kyle Munson has been writing for the Des Moines Register. Most recently, he's been the Iowa columnist, writing about nearly every corner of the state. This week, he hangs it up and will leave the newspaper and head into the corporate world of Principal Financial. We went out to lunch with Kyle this week, sat down at table 128, and I asked him, what is it that's unique about Iowa as it compares to other Midwestern states?
That's a good question. I guess I get it a lot. I like how we're at crossroads, and so we're both a physical, literal crossroads, but I think culturally, politically, whatever, we've also been that crossroads, a meeting place for the heart of the country, relative to the rest of the Midwest. I love the mix of progressive and practical in Iowa. You talk about this agrarian state that was laid out with all these small farm communities, and which many now are struggling with a century of urbanization. But I still like the, I guess, that mix of Iowa, which I think is somewhat unique. If you stray up to Minnesota or down to Missouri, over to Illinois and Chicago, whatever, it changes. Here in Iowa, we have this, still, I think, kind of this potpourri of a lot of different kinds of people trying to live beside each other.
And living beside each other, they are almost homogeneous in the nature of their backgrounds. I mean, this is a pretty white state. It is pretty, I know when I moved here from Illinois, my hometown's Detroit, I was going, wow, this is pretty WASPy, if you will. The people are very similar. We have pockets, you know, we have a Czech pocket, and we have a Catholic pocket, and we have, but typically all of these people seem to live together in pretty good harmony now.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. That's something I've thought about off and on through the years. It's true. We get pegged as an overwhelmingly white state, right? But I think these pockets have been really meaningful through the decades. You look at different Latino-Hispanic immigration and different, you know, packing plant communities. You look at, a community like Postville. You look at how Des Moines has changed, how some of the cities have changed. So I think a community like Iowa, even though you can look at it and on its face you say it's still overwhelmingly homogeneous, you drill down, and I've always been amazed, both in my life and in my work, you go into some of these communities where you see the pockets, and there's something about a rural community, a smaller community, where it's different from a city. In a city, you do have the teeming population, more apparent diversity, more instant access to cultural opportunities. But I think it's in some of these smaller and rural communities, people are more forced to confront, and well, not even confront, but to approach each other, coexist, and meaningfully coexist with each other instead of retreat to their own pockets in an urban area. Because you may be more immersed in diversity in an urban area, but you also have the ability to kind of seal yourself off into your own more insular community sometimes, I feel like, and not meaningfully spend time with people with whom you disagree.
I think that's a brilliant observation. Because of the smallness of the communities and because of the ruralness of the communities, you're almost forced to get along or at least open up your mind to having that issue of diversity. I mean, Storm Lake comes to mind, for example.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Storm Lake has grown thanks to rampant diversity of Latino immigrants and then many other, you know, ethnic varieties in recent years. I talk about how I grew up in rural Iowa, high school class of 40 kids, you know, 36 to 40 kids. And on one hand, not a lot of diversity in that school. But on the other, I look back and growing up and how I got to know a lot of people that I didn't, you know, with whom I didn't maybe have a lot in common, depending on what we're talking about, and just how that has played out in my life. And so as a journalist, I've encountered a lot more diversity, a lot more different kinds of people all around the world, and yet I feel well served by my background in rural Iowa in helping to guide me on the way in some ways.
Yeah, well, this is a business news broadcast, so we would be remiss if we didn't go down that trail.
Let's
just
do
a
it.
Little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the economics of Iowa. When you get out into the hinterland and you get to Decorah, or you get to Fort Dodge or Humboldt, or even in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, there are different ways of dealing with economics and business. How is, for example, rural Iowa coping with this urbanization? And I'm going to bring up a piece that you did not long ago, because I think it's really interesting how communities are attracting young entrepreneurs.
But yeah. I guess one quick answer would be that rural Iowa is not coping well, depending on what you look at. Sometimes they're in crisis. I mean, these communities are shrinking. The businesses are disappearing. Main streets are drying up. And so that is sad. You look around the state, though, you see there are some signs of hope. Obviously, a lot of it is still dependent on the farm economy, you know, where commodity prices go and how that is working, which, you know, we get into the whole discussion of the trade tariffs in China and everything else. You know, sometimes you have, I've seen the small town businesses where maybe there's not the local customer base or economy, but they become a mail order business. Or, you know, the e-commerce becomes a lifeline, even in rural Iowa, for some of these business owners. And then I think the story you're referring to, I was spent some time in a tiny town of New Providence in north central Iowa. And there were, I was talking to five different millennial business owners. So in a town where you would expect almost nothing to exist, all of a sudden you have this, not even an influx, really, because these are largely locals or natives to the area who have decided to stake their business careers on this small town. And one of these places is the oldest hardware store in Iowa. And so, you know, this great energetic electrician recently took that over, and he's also still, you know, trying to make his way as an electrical contractor. A guy who does home remodeling and cabinetry and furnishings. There was a woman who was in a more typical rural business. She was a manager for a large farm company, and then she took over this florist. She took over a flower shop and is doing well with a rural customer, a small town and rural customer base, seed corn dealer. So it was interesting to have, and they've had this real camaraderie. They do social media and online marketing. So it's not, you know, and there's a photographer in the mix there too, and she does she does her photography sessions in a variety of small towns. So it was a real heartening example of, you know, maybe if we have enough of these seeds planted with different ways to think about younger business owners in some of our smallest communities, maybe these communities hang on for a while longer.
We're talking with Kyle Munson, ladies and gentlemen, the Iowa columnist, who is leaving that post very shortly to take on a new opportunity. I want to go back to New Providence, because you'll never guess what happened this past week. You know, we're all connected here in Iowa, and I tell people who are not familiar with our state what it's like here, and they just can't wrap their head around the fact how connected and how intimately we know each other. I had a phone call just the other day from an individual who just moved to Windsor Heights and wanted to know some particulars about that community. And so as we were talking, I said, well, where did you come from? And she said, New Providence. I said, no kidding, New Providence. I'm talking with Kyle Munson this week about economics and Iowa. And what did you do in New Providence? And she said, we own the hardware store.
That is perfect. Yeah, you know, I was at the second rural summit recently in Grinnell at the beautiful
Bill
hotel.
Menners.
Yeah, Bill Menners Rural Summit, the former director, state director of the USDA in
Correct.
Iowa under the Obama presidency. And I was on stage for a session for a Q&A panel, and it was that same small town, that Iowa is just one large small-town sensibility. Somebody on the panel ended up having the exchange with somebody in the audience, and soon, oh, yeah, I know that person, and it was like they were related. So, there was just that whole sense in the entire room, even though we had people from every corner of the state.
Kyle Munson, ladies and gentlemen, what are the things about Iowa, and we're going to get into some other things here in just a moment, but one of the things that I think typifies all of that is this amazing adventure that we have once a year. It's called RAGBRAI, and where we have individuals, and if you're not into the cycling community, if you don't understand that, all of this looks like foreign craziness to you, where thousands of individuals wear spandex and other gear and traipse from one end of Iowa to the other en masse. It's like a swarm of locusts going through these towns. You've been on that multiple times and covering it for the Register. Are there still things that surprise you about that adventure, or are you kind of a seasoned warrior now?
Oh, well, I would say both. So, I love RAGBRAI, and I'm still, you know, this is my last, you've caught me my last week at the Register, and not an easy decision, and one of the things that made that hard was stepping away from kind of feeling like I was one of the caretakers of RAGBRAI. Mm-hmm. I founded by a couple of journalists decades ago on a whim, you know, so that has always been a powerful example.
Karis
and Call.
They said they just wanted to go on vacation and have the Register pay for something.
That's how cultural institutions are born. They're not born in committee. They're born on, you know, a creative whim, a creative brainstorm. RAGBRAI still does surprise me, and I'm going to keep writing it. In fact, I'm writing it this summer finally as a civilian. So I'll get to experience the true RAGBRAI, going with the Team Groucho from Southwest Iowa and No Pie Refused, the National Public Radio team. So I'll have fun experiencing it through their eyes. But, yeah, last year, I remember being in some downtown last year, RAGBRAI, sea of bicycles. I was devouring a sandwich. There was tractors everywhere. And then there's a couple walking by decked out in full-blown S&M gear, ball gag in the mouth, everything. Just RAGBRAI. You know, you walk by a little lemonade stand. I remember last year coasting downhill. You mentioned Decorah. The Decorah was beautiful last year. The sun's coming up. The fog is, you know, the mist and the fog are, evaporating out of the valley. I'm going 20, 30 miles an hour downhill with a bunch of cyclists. So I'm always inspired and amazed by that. Yeah.
And if you can enjoy that and be in the moment for that time period, and if you're a creative type, or I think if you're anybody, really, you probably think to yourself, if I could just somehow capture this moment forever, because it really is stunning.
Yeah, and that's the magic, and that's why people come from around the world to bicycle with thousands of people into these smallest towns, is because those little moments happen throughout the week. And it happens because it is really this enduring dream of these wannabe hippies. People, and they, you know, Karis and Call, especially Karis, called themselves that, these wannabe hippies. People treat each other, for the most part, really well on RAGBRAI. You don't have to lock your bike. You're visiting towns that really, really love to see these people because a lot of them don't have a big tourist industry the rest of the year. So it's just a magical sort of atmosphere, and I think because of the growth in the biking culture, which largely inspired by RAGBRAI and other factors, we see more bike trails in these small communities, and that is permanently bringing more business and livelihood to some of these towns, not just during RAGBRAI.
Yeah, but all the time. That's part one of Out to Lunch with Kyle Munson. Again, if you're listening on News Talk 1540 KXEL and you'd like to hear part two, just Google Insight on Business, the News Hour, and pick it up there. Coming up next, we'll check on the markets, what happened and why on Wall Street. That's coming up next here on the Business News Hour.